Welcome to the Passion Points Radio Show with your host, Ronald Kern. He's the founder of many successful companies, a sought-after speaker, life and business consultant, magazine columnist, and author of Passion in Action. Tune in and explore relevant and pertinent opportunities that can help you with both personal and professional development. Here's your hosts, Ron and Lisa Kern.
Good morning and welcome to the Passion Points podcast. Today, you will not want to miss. We have the incredible opportunity to speak with Dr. Robert Garcia. He's out of San Diego. He's in a little warmer climate than I am. What's the temperature down there?
It felt like 55 this morning during my run.
Oh, you poor baby. It's snowy and freezing here, but Robert's an unbelievable man. He's a performance coach. He's the founder of Shift Advanced Life Design Magazine. You know, he's a former military, and his goals are just really for the listeners here, and things that you can capture and learn and glean from. He's an 8-time author, and you know, Dr. Robert Garcia. Means that he's gone through a lot of school, but like most successful people, the doctor doesn't necessarily mean it was easy. And we're going to touch base with his life and things like that. And I believe you're going to find it pretty inspiring, because if you're sitting in a situation where you're not sure what your passion is, you don't know what to do next, you know, everybody hates you, guess you should go eat worms type mentality, and the world's against you. Mr. Robert Garcia is proof that if you apply the right things and surround yourself with the right people, that amazing things can happen. So, you guys are bored of hearing me. How are you this morning, Robert?
Hey, Ron, thanks for having me on the podcast. I am doing great. Just got in from a morning run and got a little coffee in me, so I'm ready to change some lives and to share some valuable information with your audience.
Well, you know, I just got done with a run. Well, I mean, I call it a run. I walked, you know, to get coffee. But I know you like run on the beach and do 8-mile runs, and, I mean, you know that we have vehicles now, right? You don't have to run 8 miles. I don't know how you do it. It's insane. But that's part of your, I know that's part of your deal. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and let's let everybody learn about you.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of background. I grew up in a small logging town called Eureka, California, in Humboldt County. It was very interesting growing up there in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Low-income family, a lot of drugs, a lot of people going to prison. I was happy at the time, but it's because I really didn't have the worldview to kind of understand what was going on around me. By the time I hit high school, like in 1990, I was staying in my grandmother's house. She was a hoarder. You know, by today's terms, just house filled with junk. Like, I would fall asleep listening to my cat eating mice. You know, several relatives had drug issues, would break into my room when I was going to school and steal my stuff to buy drugs. Just
wow.
A very challenging time in my life, and it really, I never really had like a stable family structure. By the time I was in 12th grade, I started writing this down on paper so I could really, like, capture the experience for people. By the time I was in 12th grade, I had moved 16 times.
What?
And it's very difficult to have a sense of stability, to have a sense of normalcy or self-esteem when you're uprooted that much, when you're moving from house to house, when the police are coming by to arrest somebody to take them to jail. And you're going to school in moldy clothes, you know, you're not always eating, nobody at school, you know, you're getting bullied at school, because obviously, you know, you're a little chubby kid that's kind of quiet, kind of shy, And these things kind of mold you as to who you are as a person. And I'm not ashamed of that anymore. You know, it's not my fault. I was surrounded by a lot of dysfunctional adults that took the easy way out, that used drugs and alcohol abuse to kind of mask their own dysfunction. And I get that now as an adult. So that's what my childhood was like. I ended up failing out of high school. I was a smart guy that read a lot, but I was one of these guys that was a kinesthetic learner. So I just wanted to go skateboarding a lot and hang out with my friends. And I didn't understand the value of learning. I didn't understand like the real world applications of math and why it's so important to learn the principles. Because, you know, back then it was 1990. Like I didn't understand how learning math out of a textbook would ever help me out in the real world, because I had no exposure. I lived in this tiny logging town. Like, I'm going to go home to a cockroach-filled house and just cry a lot of times. Like, that's what my day was like. And I would just go skateboarding for hours by myself because it was the only time I could actually be happy and just be away from all the craziness and deal. So wow. I failed out of high school. I had to go to continuation school in order to come back and graduate my class. I went to college because I was low income. I got to go to college for free in my hometown at junior college, and I failed out of that too because I couldn't focus on the mathematics. Because once again, like I have an undiagnosed learning disorder. So if I can't focus on something, if I don't find it interesting, I tune it out completely. And I think a lot of our veterans can really understand that mentality. Because I met a lot of people that have trouble in formal education because they're more hands-on. They're real good at field stripping, an M16 or repairing an engine. They're more kinesthetic, like hands-on learners, and that's definitely how I was. But
right.
In a classroom is hard.
Well, I'm not going to try to you're the doctor, but do you think that learning challenge? I'm not a big fan of labels, but do you think it could be a form of PTSD because of what you really experience that you just described day in and day out? Or do you just think it's something else that doesn't allow you to focus? I mean, I find it difficult to focus, but how you just described your going to bed and what you did during high school. I mean, one, it's unimaginable, but do you think it's possibly something or a form close to that your brain just kind of said, you know what, I don't want to deal, or am I way off base?
I think that's a brilliant question, Ron. Thank you for asking that, by the way. I've never actually thought about it that way, but from my own experience, I've had this at every time I've done formal learning. And it basically just means that if I don't see an end result, if I don't see what this is going to add to my life, I really don't want to learn it. Textbook-based instruction is horrible for me. And you'll see how this factored in later in life. So, I ended up moving to Phoenix as fast as I could at 19. And I went to a different college. And for the first semester, I was A's and B's because it was a little bit more hands-on. I was doing electronics labs. I was really getting into it. But eventually, the conditions of my life caught up to me. I was sleeping on the floor. I couldn't afford meat. I literally was writing bad checks so that I could eat chicken. And I was just eating rice all the time. And I was skateboarding a lot because it was my own form of therapy for just helping me to do something that I found fun. And I ended up failing out of that school, too, because I couldn't keep my grades up. Like, I couldn't quite focus on the concepts needed, and I just the life challenges were so damn hard with two roommates. And, I was, like, bussing tables, and it was just such an unequal life. It was just very challenging. And so I ended up taking the ASVAB. I knew a few friends that joined the Air Force, and my recruiter was an amazing guy who'd brought me a bag of groceries. So Sergeant Sterrett, I'm sure you're retired by now, but thank you for that act of kindness. Just that small thing got me through. He brought me a bag of groceries when he saw that my freezer and fridge were empty. And I scored off the charts on the ASVAB, very high electronics score, very high admin score. So I joined the Air Force and became a B-52 avionics troop in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Wow.
And at that point, I had that stability. I had that foundation to move forward. I ended up leaving one enlistment with a bachelor's, two associates, and a minor because all I did was go to school and try to better myself and try to enter a career where I could just shine and you know, try and achieve. And
sure.
So I ended up, I was not picked up by the FBI, but I applied for them. And then I applied to officer school, and I wasn't picked up for that either. And that, you know, that's okay. That was my first taste of being looked at and not being selected. And that, you know, you need to do that. And I'm telling you that to your audience right now. Try out for stuff even if it intimidates you. You know, don't be scared to take a bold chance in your life, because the results, if you can pull it off, will be incredible. But you got to go way outside your lane. That's my first piece of advice. So I moved to San Diego. By some miracle, I'm hired as an engineering teacher. Now, keep in mind, Ron, this was the first time that I started to realize, like in an almost matrix way, that life is not static, it's fluid. Life can be whatever you want it to be for the person with the right resources and the right mindset. So here I am. I've never passed pre-algebra, okay? I've never been an engineer. I've never had an engineering degree. But because I'd had that aircraft electronics experience, they let me in, and within 5 years, I was running an academy of engineering at Morse High School in San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah, I was nominated for Teacher of the Year. I'm teaching kids principles of trigonometry. I'm teaching them about how skateboarding uses physics. But my approach was more hands-on. Hey, we're going to build something today. Hey, we're going to launch things out in the parking lot, and we're going to make mousetrap cars, and this is how the math interacts with the physics and the engineering. And I made it fun. I took the math, but I delivered in a manner that was loud and brash. Think about getting instruction from a drill sergeant, like a guy that is tough on you, but you know that he loves you and he comes from a place from the heart. And that's how I was. And I'm still friends with many of my students today. And when you get people to come up to you and say, hey, you're the only reason I came to school today, that's when you realize what an impact you're making. So that was my early days. And then we'll fast forward to today. I just kept trying to better myself. I adapted a mentality of setting big goals and then aligning myself with the right people and never giving up, even when things got hard. And today, 40 years old, I have a doctorate. I own a performance coaching company. I have my own coaching magazine. I've written 8 books, and I have a degree of success that I never would have believed is possible. When I was a little kid, I never even thought I'd make it to college. And here I am, a keynote speaker at University of Phoenix, teaching people how to finish a doctoral dissertation. It's amazing, Ron.
Wow. Because, you know, a lot of people that are, maybe they muster up enough courage to get outside their lane, right? Get out of their comfort zone. And when they finally do, they're turned down or they're overlooked, like in your case. What is it that keeps people, and in your situation, to keep going? Because that's where the line is, you know, the wall is there. And at that point, people either stay where they are, remain in their comfort zone and stand behind that wall, and others, you know, push the envelope and scale the wall and move forward. Do you know why some people are just stopped when they come across that type of, you know, no, or you can't do this, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough intelligence, you don't have enough schooling, you know, all of that, and while others like you just keep going? Is there any commonality on the people that decide to jump over that wall that you can relay?
Absolutely. The people that I've known that have overcome the most, it's two things. They got rid of all their fear in their mind. They stopped second guessing. They stopped imagining bad things, bad results, and they stopped caring what negative people think. That's the first thing. Okay, they did mindset work on themselves. That's what when somebody joins my performance program, First 30, that's the first thing we work on is, hey, what are you scared of? What's keeping you back? And who in your life is a negative influence do you think of whenever your mind shuts down? And once we can isolate those things, then we work on building the confidence. So that's the first thing, Ron. It's a mindset. It's a mindset of impending failure. That's what holds people back from being amazing. And the second thing, and I learned this when I'm coaching doctoral students, is bouncing back from failure. When I launched my magazine a year ago, I didn't have enough money for gas or meat for 8 days. Okay, and I just worked from home, and I contacted influencers, and I aligned myself with platform owners like you, amazing people that are making a difference, that are generous with their time, and that want to make a difference. And I had that confidence, that CEO confidence, because I know that what I do is meaningful and has value. But teaching people to bounce back from failure is the biggest thing. My dissertation was rejected 4 times. They could not keep me from finishing the program. They would not stop me. Nothing is going to stop me. If I have to drive to Phoenix and put it on the dean's desk himself, I will do that to finish my program.
Mm. Wow. You have such a strong passion. And, you know, you see TV programs or what have you of people that grow up in lackluster conditions. It's not the Norman Rockwell. Yours is pretty horrific, and I'm sure there's many details that you haven't shared. And most, I would think, a lot of those end up being sad stories. You know, they too succumb to drugs or alcohol, and they don't have the self-confidence to push forward. I mean, here you are. I mean, I'm just picturing it. Here you are in high school, cops and drug dealers and drunk people and everything that comes along with that. And then you get up in the morning and go to school like nothing happened, or, you know, like it's a normal day for a normal kid. And then, you know, people are picking on the quiet guy and you know, you didn't have the cool clothes and all of those things. I just find it absolutely amazing of the perseverance and where you were and what you came out of to where you are now. I mean, for me, I don't gauge success by money, but, you know, for somebody to be in your situation to where you are now, there has to be that, I don't want to say obviously a magic pill or anything, but you have taken what you know works and what you've used and what others can glean from and put it into a program, right?
Absolutely, Ron, and that's the cornerstone of my program, is unlocking people's talents and showing them what they can do and what they want their impact to be. I'll tell you right now, if there was a number one thing that I changed that turned it all around for me, it was perspective. When I started the magazine, I started interviewing CEOs, and I was blessed that so many people opened up to the magazine and Redshift and encouraged me and shared their stories with me. In just 5 months of opening this unknown magazine, okay, I'd met John Lee Dumas. I had met Jocko Willink, who's been on Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss, amazing guy. And I got to interview Howard Wasden, who was in the fight at Black Hawk Down. And Dr. Wasden was very generous with his time and gave me an amazing interview with Schiff. And I was very proud of that. And all because I knew about him. I called his practice in Georgia, and I just said, "Dr. Wasden, I'd love to write this story about you, sir. You're a great person." And I entered with humility and reverence. And that's a big thing. And then Mike Michalowicz, who wrote Profit First and was a best-selling author, nicest guy I've ever met, and he's a best-selling author. He's a speaker, and I learned so much from his interview, and he even made me a promo video. So the thing that helped me to do all this stuff, though, was my perspective. And I started by meeting all these great people and by reading books about, like, special ops guys and Navy SEALs and single moms who'd built these amazing coaching empires. I started to realize that if you have transportation, if you have an internet connection and a basic comprehension of English, you can do anything. You're better off than 90% of people in the world. And once that sinks in, once you have those basic needs, okay, transportation, and you don't even need transportation, really. You just need an internet connection, a comprehension of English, you can achieve, okay? there was a statement written by a guy. There was a guy, Daniel Haney, who'd written a book about Delta Force. So I was studying these guys. I want to know what habits, you know, these guys do to become the best of the best unit in the world at counterterrorism. And they have a lot of things in common. But Haney, when he passed his Delta selection, his commanding officer asked him what was the hardest part about selection. And he said something, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "Sir, I slept 8 hours every night. I had 3 scores a day. I didn't step on a landmine, and no one was shooting at me. There was no hard part about selection." And that blew my mind, just that basic down-home perspective that if your basic needs are met, you can do anything.
Wow. What would you say to those out there that obviously aren't at that place in their life where they have that confidence? What do you say to those, and I know every person's different, so this might be an unfair question, but as a general rule, somebody that is always comparing themselves to others and always has like that impending failure or I'm never going to be good enough, and the self-worth and self-esteem is low, is there anything in particular that you relay to them or can share some advice to them, or is that more of a depending on the person one-on-one type thing?
No, I can absolutely give you 3 pieces of advice to change your life today if you're in that place. If you're in a place of depression, if you're in a place of failure and you feel like you absolutely hate your life, let's be honest, some of us feel that way quite often. I spent a lot of time in that state, and it wasn't healthy and it wasn't productive. The first thing you need to do is surround yourself with great people. You need to find a tribe. You know, start a meetup group. Go out. Be social. You know, contact influencers online and offer them some value, but you got to branch out and you got to talk to people that are going to support you and love you. secondly, incorporate fitness of some kind into your life. I lift weights. I go on beach runs. It's a great way to stimulate brain function and cognitive theory and get your creativity going. But I highly encourage you to do exercise at least 3 times a week. The harder you can go, the better. The more you can push yourself and keep achieving, keep pushing yourself to higher and higher levels, run a little farther, you know, just keep active, because that's the worst thing a person can do is get stagnant. They gain a little weight, then they have some body image issues and some self-esteem issues. All of that ties in together because it's your self-perception. For a lot of my life.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ron.
And then when you, you know, when you're not feeling good about yourself and you're not doing anything of getting those endorphins going, I mean, the go-to thing is let's just go sit on the couch and hope that all my issues go away. But it just compounds and grows the next day, right?
I want you to think about something, Ron. The reason we have such an obesity problem in America today is because too many people are using bad food as a drug. Because what does fast food and what does a bad diet plan do for you? All it does is it temporarily stimulates serotonin in the brain, and it's a quick fix. But unfortunately, the lasting effects are horrific. I eat fast food, I'm not even kidding, maybe 2 times a year. I have about 2 sodas a year. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to kind of go to that length, but the more healthy food you can eat, coupled with a good exercise program, the better you're going to feel about your life, the better you're going to look, and the more people are going to open up to you.
Because you have that mindset.
Exactly. So just to reiterate like the 3 things, the first thing is to adopt a fitness program and then meet new people, okay, so be social. And then the 3rd thing is I challenge anyone listening right now to write out a 6-month statement of where you want your life to be. Mine is on my wall right now, and that has helped me so much subconsciously to guide towards what I want to do. Write a 6-month current in present first person form, okay? Where you're working, what your income is, you know, what you've achieved, where you've spoken, what you want to pull off. But if you have that forward statement for 6 months, you're going to work towards it.
So you're saying write down where you want to be or where you are currently, or both?
It's a little of both. You're writing a statement. The way that I write them, you know, it is this month and this year. I am living here. I'm doing this. I've been on this show. I have spoken here. You know, this is the car that I drive. Like, all these little details. Because you need to create a vision of your own success. That's the two things that people need to do. If you want to start today having a better life, you need a vision and you need goals that are actionable, and you'll start working towards them.
Totally agree. Totally agree. So you write the six-month statement, and for you, and you recommend having it in some place that you're going to see it often.
I have it right on my desk, and I'm actually going to make a new one today because this is an older one. It's an exercise I haven't done in a while because I have that, and then I have general goals for 2017, about 12 of them. One year I was able to hit about 70% of them, and I was very happy with that. But yeah, people just need a little bit of organization, and they need a little bit of structure, and that's really what will compel them to try harder to try for things that would normally take them out of their comfort zone, you know, things they'd be intimidated by.
Give me a typical, if that's the right word for people like you, what's a typical day look like for you?
I'm going to be really honest. Like, in the last few weeks, I've really ramped it up. This is exactly what it looks like and what you're going to see. I get up at 4 a.m., and about three times a week, I either go to the gym or I go to the beach and I run 8 miles. I have a routine to the point where everything, all my steps are written out, what Facebook groups I post in, the content I'm going to create, the freebie I'm going to give away, but I'm very, very structured. I'm taking this a lot more seriously now. I will do an initial push with my promotional materials and then my freebies at like 7 in the morning for the West Coast. And then I will spend 6-7 hours working at a coffee shop, you know, working on my blog or working on seminar stuff, because I got seminars coming up in January. And then at 3 o'clock, I'll do another push for the East Coasters, the people that are just getting off work because it's 6 o'clock there. You know? And that way I capture both sides. That way I get maximum engagement. And then I go to bed. I'll probably watch an X-Files episode, you know, maybe have a glass of wine. And then I go to bed at 7 or 8, and I usually read a Navy SEAL book because they are the epitome of daily excellence. Mm. Nobody does it better than the Navy SEALs.
Wow. Well, aside from – I can do the 4 a.m. thing because I'm up all hours, but the 8-mile thing – I go to the gym and get on the treadmill, and I mean, I might do a circuit, but you know, people don't just start today and go out and run 8 miles because, you know, your lungs are going to explode and you're going to be hurting the next day. When somebody says, okay, I want to surround myself with great people, I'm going to write out some goals or 6-month statement, and I'm going to work out 3 times a week. I think a lot of people, and you're the expert here, but a lot of people try to do everything all at once as far as when they're in the gym or whatever. Don't you have to kind of, you know, yeah, you have to push yourself, but don't you have to baby step it into it a little bit? I mean, you're not going to go start off with legs and back and shoulders and running and cardio all in one day. I assume the approach is ease your way into it so that you don't get frustrated and too sore to go in, you know, the next day?
Yeah, Ron, that's a great point. What you're talking about is gradual progression, because I didn't just start off banging out 8-mile beach runs, you know, sometimes in the rain, just the first day. I mean, that's a recipe for failures when you overextend yourself. And you got to train up. The longest run I ever did, I did my run twice. I did 16 miles once when I was 29, I think. And I all I did was just push myself a little further. I go to the beach at Mission Beach in San Diego, and, you know, there's landmarks, there's a bridge, there's rocks. And I said, hey, I can get to that rock. I can get to that bridge. And you start studying how long-distance runners do it. You start emulating the best. You know, if you're in business and you want to be a better magazine owner, find the guy or girl that's run an amazing magazine. Reverse engineer the steps they've done, the design elements, you know, who does their advertising. You reverse engineer greatness and you add it into your own life, and that's how you progress. So I bought a Camelback so that I could drink a little water while I'm running. You know, and if I'm doing a real long run, I'll take a banana with me or a power bar. I started learning breathing techniques, shallow breathing, very slow, controlled, shallow breathing. Because think about a person that's out of shape, that's starting to do cardio or starting to do exercise. How do you imagine the breathing run?
Very heavy and increased. So
right. Their system's not used to it. Their lungs are on fire. They're breathing out of control. Their pulse is racing. And this is because they haven't trained up to it. They've introduced something that's kind of foreign to their body, and they haven't gotten used to it yet. So I learned to just breathe slowly in through the nose, out to the mouth, very Mr. Miyagi, you know, very zen, very peacefully, and just run at a steady pace. I'm not a marathon runner. I'm not a fast guy. It takes me about an hour and a half to do 8 miles. And I'm not trying to beat any records, but I will finish. And the beauty of a run that's that long is that I can think of some pretty amazing stuff, and I can really get my business affairs in order, because you got 90 minutes to really think about stuff and listen to music and be productive.
Do you think that there's something? Do you think there's a correlation? I've never done this study or thought about it. Maybe nobody even tracks it. But excuse me, when I have my epiphany, or if I have a idea that, like, wow, I think this is awesome, I think I should run with this, it's typically when I'm doing something physical, which doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know if it's because I'm so focused on running and not everything else, but I usually have my really, I think, pretty good ideas while I'm working out. And that's kind of what you said. When you're running, you have, you know, you can think about things and things come to you. Why do you think that is? Or is that just a fluke for me?
It's because you put your body and your mind in a receptive state, and because there's more stimuli. Who do you think has the better ideas? The person sitting at home in the dark feeling sorry for themselves, or the person that's out and about talking to people, you know, seeing motion around them, seeing other people, seeing cars moving, seeing birds flying, trees, all that stuff? A person that is exposed to a lot of outside stimuli is going to have a lot better ideas. There's a reason that Einstein walked every day in his lunch when he was a patent clerk.
So if you want to have some great ideas, then get exercising at least 3 times a week. Surround yourself with great people and have goals that are, and I love how you ensure that, because everybody has their own foolproof way, the only way to write goals and how to achieve them. But the key for any goal setting program plan is actionable.
Absolutely.
And realistic. Because, I mean, I could put on a goal that I want to slam dunk the basketball. Now, I'm 5'11", and in high school, I could, if I really tried, 1 out of 10 times, I could slam. But you also have to have realistic goals. And what any advice on writing out goals, or is that just part of your program that people get when they sign up for you?
As far as writing out goals, keep in mind there are two types. There's general, and there's specific. And there's a time and a place for both of them. You know, you need to write out what's right for you. A person that's not really putting a lot of effort into it will just write, I want to make a lot of money in 2017. A person that's really serious about it will write, okay, I'm going to publish an ebook, I'm going to get 3 speaking gigs, and I'm going to raise my consulting rates to $150 an hour in 2017. See the difference?
And I love the fact when I write out my goals, I like putting the end result and then working backwards, because then you have a path. You know, I want to lose 20 pounds. Well, how do you do that? If you just see, I want to lose 20 pounds, and 2 months goes by and you get on the scale and you've gained 3, oh, heck, you know, I'll start next year. But if you put 20 pounds in 2017 and each month I want to lose 3 pounds, and how am I going to, you just break it down. I love the concept of working backwards, because it allows a goal that seems out of reach to truly be a matter of baby steps and taking a little by little by little.
That's exactly what I do, Ron, and I think it's funny you mention that, because that's exactly how I make stuff happen. I write out whatever end result I want, and then I start reverse engineering the steps to get there. I start writing down resources that can help me, Google searches I can do, people I can talk to, and someone that has achieved that, that I can emulate. That's the way you get your goals done.
Mm. So a lot of times you don't, I think everybody needs, they feel like they need to come up with the newest idea or the best product or be totally different, but and they try to sometimes reinvent the wheel. And you don't necessarily have to do that. If you have those steps in place and you are looking at someone at the level that you want to reach, you can kind of mirror what they're doing. Not copy or plagiarizing, but you can see how they do it. And I think that's a valuable thing as well.
I think so too, Ron. And I think it's I think it's very important to do that. So what we're going to do today, I want to switch gears a little bit, because one thing I do, I speak in high schools, and because I was a low-income student, I have a certain affinity for people that are in a bad financial situation that want to better themselves the fastest way they can do it. So what we're going to do today, we're going to give the gift of abundance, and we're going to do it in two different ways. The first thing I'm going to do, I just released an ebook called How to Find High-Paying Technical Jobs, and for your audience today, I'm going to give it away. It lists where to find free school, different types of programs out there, what a technical job is, because the reason that technical jobs are so good is because they pay more than typical jobs in the outside sector, such as like security, you know, entry-level construction, retail, service, all that stuff. If somebody wanted to hire a better job where they don't have to work 12 hours in an environment they hate, technical jobs are the way to go. So that's the first thing. I'm going to send you the ebook. And anybody that wants it can get it. So that's the first thing we're going to do to help people to have a better life and a better day today. The second thing we're going to do, I want people listening to write this down. So get out a pen. I'm going to give you the best piece of information I have ever found as far as getting training, free school, whatever. If a person is looking to start a new career, a technical career, something that's going to something that pays more money, okay, there's a federal database that lists almost every free training program in the country. So I'm talking anybody from California to Kansas to Alaska to New York. You can do this searchable database, and you can find a free training program that will help you to get training in a different vocation. And all you have to do, it's the United States Department of Labor, and all you have to do is Google federal apprenticeships and then go to the third link. Okay, I'll repeat that. This is a searchable database for every free apprenticeship, and a lot of these will pay you to learn. Okay, so you'll start off immediately, 12, 18 bucks an hour while you're learning a trade. So you just Google federal apprenticeships, and you go to the third link, and you'll see a searchable map when you scroll down that lists every training program in the country that's registered with the federal government.
Wow. That's a gem. I think a lot of people will appreciate that. I mean, I know you're an eight-time author, and I mean, I know. Don't you normally sell your book for like $20? This ebook that you're offering for our listeners.
Yeah. That's the list price for this technical jobs book, because it is such a It's got clickable links that take you right to the programs you can apply for. I tried to make it as easy as possible so a person could read, you know, five different ways to get a technical job and then just jump right in. Because honestly, it's a reference book. You know, you think of a normal ebook, it's like, what, $5-6? But this is a book that covers 10 years of research. Me searching the best programs out there, categorizing them, the difference between state-funded training versus like federal-funded training versus, you know, apprenticeships, all this stuff. So I found all these great programs and put them all in this ebook. So yeah, I'm going to give it away today. I don't need the money. I want to see people taking this information, bettering their lives, and then just, if you want to write me and say, hey Rob, you really helped me out, that would make my day.
Wow. Well, if you want that ebook, I'll have all of the links to get it, and also ways to get in touch with you. If somebody says, you know, I'm doing this apprenticeship. I've even, you know, got your ebook, and I'm doing some things. I did some things that you spoke about here, which is all unbelievable stuff. But I really want to work with you because I think you can shorten the time frame of getting myself where I want to be. How do people hire you?
They can find me on Facebook, Dr. Rob Garcia. I have a Dr. Rob Garcia Facebook page. I have a page for Shift Advanced Life Design Magazine. You can Google First 30. Like, First 30 doesn't have a standalone website, but just find me on Facebook, and you can reach out, or you can just email me, Rob Lee Garcia at Yahoo. Not too hard to find. You just do a Google search of Dr. Rob Garcia, and I'm out there. I've gotten some pretty good media appearances in the last few years.
Right.
And one last thing, I do want to talk about my newest book because I think it can help people. If you're a person that wants to learn things faster, that wants ways of being able to just accumulate large pieces of information and to just have a more productive day, I wrote a book about speed learning called The Next Level Supercharged. And this book is available at lulu.com, or you can just Google it, Next Level Dr. Rob Garcia. But it's got 16 ways of learning stuff faster. It talks about nootropic drugs you can use. It talks about how to make diagrams to process information. And then I also interviewed 5 celebrities, and I'm talking amazing people. Sergeant Joseph Kapituski, who lost a leg in combat. He's an Army Ranger, and he ended up being reinstated back to active duty on a prosthetic leg. First guy in history.
Wow.
Rick and Richard and Dick Hoyt, who are Team Hoyt, they've run 1,000 marathons, and Richard has spastic cerebral palsy, and Dick pushes him and tows him on a boat. Amazing story on YouTube. I was blessed to get an interview with them. And then Josh and Jill Stanton, who started their own company and started a digital empire and have an amazing life. And these interviews really demonstrate the principles of the book and how they use certain principles of it to find their success. So the book is called The Next Level Supercharged, Dr. Rob Garcia. There's an old version on Amazon. The new one is so much better. I went back and revamped it and added a ton more content. But it can definitely help you if you were like me and in a place where you knew you were smart, you just didn't know how to learn the right way. This book can help you.
Hmm. Did I read somewhere that you read rather fast?
Yeah, Ron, that's true. I'm definitely a speed learner. When I was in fourth grade, I was reading like seventh grade books. That's one thing I highly encourage everyone to do is to read books. More so than electronic versions of things. I think you gain more from books. I think it stimulates more brain function. That's just me speaking my own personal opinion. When I was a little kid, when I was little, like 9, 10, my grandmother, who was the hoarder, she had all these Alfred Hitchcock mystery magazines. She had hundreds of them, and that's all I would do. I'd just read these things, and my vocabulary got really good.
Wow. Well, you know, what's interesting is, if you go to, successful people, and again, I don't focus on money. I'm talking about successful, you know, they don't necessarily have to worry about where the next paycheck is coming from. They're content. They really have, they're living their life with passion and not just existing. And you look at someone like that and anybody else that isn't and look at their house, both houses will have a bedroom. Both houses will have a kitchen. Both houses will have bedroom or bedrooms. But the one difference in almost every instance is the person that's living with passion and content, they have a room that those other houses and other people don't, and it's a library. And a library can be a bookshelf in your room. It doesn't have to be some grandiose, you know, thing with a rolling ladder. Look at the people that are successful, however you gauge success, they have a library. And I totally agree with you. I do have ebooks. For me, I actually have a lot of audiobooks. But when I want to read a book, I want the touchy, feely. It's just better, and I think it does stimulate the brain in a different way. Not to mention, if you're trying to read at night, you know, the blue light and the distractions and everything that comes along with the digital side. So it's interesting that you mentioned that because I fully agree.
So if a person has been listening this far, and first of all, thank you for tuning in. I'm very grateful for you. There are three things. If this is resonating with you and you're in a place where you want a better life and you want to do greater things and you want to make a bigger impact on the people around you, the first thing I would do, if I was giving advice right now, if I was giving a seminar, I would say to go on Amazon, buy a copy of The Law of Success. There is no greater book for personal achievement than The Law of Success by Napoleon Hill. It's a very large book. Every single page is gold. So that'd be the first thing I would say to do. Second thing, start a fitness program and commit to it for 3 months consistently, three times a week. Just do something, get a friend, whatever you got to do. But you need to get out. You need to be active. You need to be working on your body and your mind. And third thing, create that vision, create those goals. If you do those three things, you will start to see things turn around in a very, very dramatic and fast fashion.
Wow. That is excellent, excellent stuff. You know, you're a plethora of knowledge and obviously generous in offering the ebook and what you can do in addition to all of these things. People can reach out to you, and I'll put all of the links to the books, Law of Success, the new book, The Next Level Supercharge. I'll put a link to that one on Lulu. I can put the link to the federal apprenticeship on the United States Department of Labor. I'll put all of the links there so you don't have to rewind and listen to all this if you didn't write it down or if you're listening to this in your car or whatever. I really strongly recommend and urge that you reach out to him and subscribe to his magazine. Find him on Facebook. And really, if you want to enhance your life, which encompasses everything, you know, Rob is an incredible conduit to that. And I would really appreciate, you know, after you do some of these things, if you find a value and benefit, do email them. I mean, we all take time to complain about the bad service at a restaurant or whatever, but very few people take time to thank others. And I think if people take any part of what you've shared with us today, I mean, there's so many golden nuggets that you listed here. I think it's kind of obvious that you're going to be moving in the right direction. So anything else you want to add before we finish up here?
Yeah, Ron. First of all, I want to take a minute out to personally thank you for your work you do with veterans. I am so amazed when I see the things that you're accomplishing and the impact you make on other people. Because at the end of the day, this is what I base my coaching on. It's about impact, not income. It is about the impact you have on someone else's life, the ability to change things, and the propensity to give someone hope. That's why I get up at 4 in the morning. That's why I'm doing the beach runs. If you've ever seen some of my promotional materials, I'm usually doing something crazy with exercise. I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'2", 230. I'm very crazy looking at times, but I'm also a very nice person. I don't want people to think I'm some like mean, insane, you know, going to yell at you drill sergeant guy. I'm not. I'm only intense when I'm working out. But I just want to thank you, Ron, for your own efforts and just the things you've done and for sharing your talents and your gifts and your vision. It's been such an honor knowing you and you know, working with you on stuff.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. You know, I just I think there is a value in focusing on helping others. I think it's key. I think, you know, if you're blessed, it's not so you can hoard and hold on to it and have the most toys and have the biggest bank account when you die. I think if you're being blessed, it's meant for you to be a blessing to others. And that doesn't mean give everything away, but
right.
it does mean that you should help others. And so I learned that from my mom, and I try to emulate that as much as I can, and I fall short in many ways, but all I can do is keep moving the dial to the right direction and not get stuck in, you know, we can't help everybody, but we can't help everybody in the world, but we can help the people that come into our world. And you know, I've watched your videos and I've followed you and sometimes obviously reach out to you, because we're part of the First 30 group, but, you're an impressive man with a big heart. You're not one of those, motivational speakers, get people all excited, buy my book and your life will be great. You're realistic. You have these actionable items. You have clear-cut paths. You have ways to shorten the time frame to reach the potential of a person. And if people haven't reached out to you, well, you've been missing out, and now you have an opportunity. So I want to thank you for everything that you do for the general public and also your clients. And I hope people decide to hire you, because I think you have a tremendous amount of gifts and talents and resources that you can really help people. And I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Ron. Thank you. And if anyone out there is listening and you're in a bad place in life, or you need someone to help guide you and help you create a vision for your own success and what you want to do, you know, reach out, touch base. If the First 30 program is I would call it medium priced. With some people, you know, obviously we all have different budget issues, and some people just don't have the money. And so I offer strategy calls, you know, that are good for any budget, and I give away a lot of freebies as well. So even if you just need a 10-minute call with Dr. Rob on the house, you know, I would be happy to do that. And you can ask me some questions, pick my brain, and I've probably got a free ebook or a free infographic that can help you to, you know, whatever you're trying to do, go to school for free or lose some weight or whatever. I've got 10 years of writing and a huge database of stuff that I will happily give to you to help you better your life.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you, and we will touch base, I'm sure, after this call. But I will put all the links and everything in the bottom below this podcast. And I want to thank everybody who's listened, and urge you to reach out to Dr. Robert Garcia in San Diego, and appreciate you and all that you do, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Take care.
You have been listening to the Passion Points Radio Show with Ron and Lisa Kern. For more information, download and share this broadcast, or to contact us, please visit passionpointsradioshow.com.